This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. Good to be back with you.
Well, it's been a very busy week following the aftermath of the US election result, and we've had plenty going on in terms of numbers over the last few days, the CPI in the United States. And also we had comment from Fed Chair Jerome Powell yesterday, Nick, who said that interest rates are still expected to decline further, but also suggested that might not be that much lower over the next few months. So you were saying to me off air just now, you thought these were fairly hawkish comments from the Fed chief.
Yeah, and I think, Johnny, we've been talking about recently on the podcast quite a bit the 10-year Treasury yield, which has been trending higher. The dollar index has been trending higher for weeks. And I think that this is just more evidence that, generally speaking, the bond market is pretty good at forecasting, before Powell says something, what he is likely to say. Yields up, up and away. Dollar index, you know, pushing higher. And finally, we hear confirmation from Powell that, again, with some of the recent economic data coming in strong, the labor market seeming like it's in a pretty decent spot, and inflation ticking up to 2.6%, we've got the Fed's confirmation that perhaps rate cuts next year will be less or slower than what the market had perhaps previously hoped for. I think this is just something that is worth mentioning, is that the bond market oftentimes is considered more of the pessimistic market, and the stock market is considered more of the quote-unquote optimistic market, right? The stock market has been hoping for, wishing for, thinking of many, many rate cuts and a perfect economy. Meanwhile, the bond market has been creeping into the background higher and higher on the 10-year yield, suggesting that, again, economic data points are pointing to not a rush or a need to cut rates. And that is exactly what Powell gave us. And just to mention, you disclosed also that we had, of course, the CPI number, which came in at expectations at 2.6%. And then you also had the producer price index come in line with expectations as well. So inflation didn't surprise to the upside, but it also didn't surprise to the downside. And it's higher from where it was a few months ago. So inflation, not necessarily trending up, but not decisively trending down. Meanwhile, labor data, as we just discussed, has been largely pretty strong. Powell mentioned that yesterday in his commentary, that the state of the labor market is no longer as much of a concern as it may have been a couple months ago. And so we're sort of back to this middle ground where we're watching inflation, we're watching labor data, and the bond market, meanwhile, is saying we don't need to cut rates quickly, and the Fed's going to kind of scout that out and make that judgment call like they did yesterday. And I think that that kind of leaves us in a position where yields are rising, the dollar is strong, and you know, perhaps the stock market's down, you know, move today. We've got the stock market, the S&P 500 down about 1.15%, the NASDAQ down 2%, and those are follow-through moves from yesterday's sell-off. I think the stock market is just sobering up a little bit to the idea that rate cuts might not be as quick as previously anticipated.
Meanwhile, Nick, a lot of risk assets are getting sold off, but not crypto, certainly not Bitcoin, which is very near its all-time high still.
I think it's interesting, Johnny, when you get these sort of tied in, tied out moments, right, where we see stocks selling off and yields flying high. I always like to look in these moments at the ones that are performing the best versus the ones that are performing the worst. And surprisingly, Bitcoin being one of the highest risk assets on the list, if not, you know, of traditional stocks and bonds, way, way higher risk. Well, crypto today, despite the market selling off, is actually holding into positive territory. Bitcoin's up 1.6% at the time of recording this, but knowing the nature of this thing, it could be very different by the time our listeners are checking the price themselves. But this is the same day that the VIX is up 10.77% on the day. The stock market is down lower, and you know, gold and silver are making moves higher. So I point this out because maybe, just maybe, this is suggesting some of the admirable strength of the crypto crowd, despite a down day in stocks, which the Bitcoin world does have a bit of correlation to, it seems to be holding in there steady. We're trading at 88,800 at the time of recording this, pretty close to that all-time high around 93, and we'll continue to sort of be on 100,000 level watch to see if that ever happens. But again, crypto eyeing up, lining up here, a really big move to the upside in the last few months. We'll see if that persistence can continue and if we can make that jump to 100K. And also just mentioning Bitcoin here, we can also discuss Ethereum, which is not faring as well today, down 0.8% at the time of recording, trading around 3,032. And actually noticeably, if you take a look at Ethereum and Bitcoin collectively over the last few years, Bitcoin has done far better than Ethereum. So just thought that was worth mentioning. It's sort of like gold and silver, right? If you look at gold and silver over the last few decades, silver has actually really underperformed the price of gold. Gold is that sort of gold standard for a reason. Perhaps in crypto universe, Bitcoin holds the same principles.
And how are the current circumstances affecting the currency world?
Well, when we look at things like the euro and the pound, which have really struggled against the dollar recently, the pound is still slightly lower today. Euro is about flat, but noticeably, the yen is having a bit of a field day today across several currencies. Against the pound, for example, pound yen is down 1.25%. That's some strength for the Japanese yen. The dollar yen also down 1%. And the euro yen about 0.9%. So yen is seemingly the winner of the day today. That and the Swiss franc, of course, having positive days, as it does seem like things today are a bit oriented towards the risk-off side of things. With stock markets selling off, NASDAQ is down 2.1%. The Russell's down 1.2%. The S&P is down 1.2% as well. Bit of a sell-off day. And you know, the thing here is, if you take a look at yen pairs, if you take a look at the stock market, these things have been up and to the right recently. So perhaps a bit of a healthy correction, at least for now. The question will be, the bigger question for some of these charts, when we look at dollar yen, when we look at the stock market, is whether or not this recent comment from Jerome Powell escalates further. Is it going to be, not only are we going to slow the pace of rate cuts, but perhaps the actual level that they're comfortable coming down to is not very far away at all. And maybe next year we do start to see pivoting towards a language of pausing rate cuts, which, Johnny, it does sound a bit bizarre if you think about it. We finally got to the point where we're starting to see rate cuts, and now we're already talking about, well, what if they talk about pausing? And again, it's I mentioned this on the last podcast. I've seen jokes on the internet recently, social media posts talking about how the Fed is cutting rates and we are at all-time highs in the stock market. So there's pushback on it. And I think that the Fed chair made comments yesterday that sort of signaled that they are not in a rush. And perhaps that's a good thing. Perhaps that means the economy is in an okay state and that's the way they see it. But for market expectations, we do see a bit of a pullback in terms of forecast for rate cuts, and with that, some risk assets selling off.
Now, looking ahead, Nick, we've had a fairly crazy couple of weeks, in fact, a fairly crazy year so far. But next week, some will be pleased to hear, is a bit quieter, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe we can spend a little less time worrying about what's happening next in markets next week, because we do have a much lighter sort of list of items. Some of the big ones that I can see are some of the PMI numbers coming out of Europe, specifically, you know, German and French PMI numbers, as well as U.S. Flash manufacturing and services PMI numbers next week. So a much lighter setup for next week. However, with all of this stuff that's been going on recently, as you discussed, I would not be surprised if some of that volatility does follow through anyways next week and we still see some outsized moves. I mean, with the countdown to, you know, the return of Donald Trump in the White House and what's happening globally, you know, between the Middle East and Ukraine, there's no shortage of things to watch, even on a week where economic data might be a little bit lighter than usual.
Excellent stuff, Nick. We look forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Have a good weekend.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.